Hi, good morning. Thank you, Lily. So today I'm going to talk about how health impact assessment has been used to look at the health effects of housing proposals. So let's get started. No relationships to disclose. So Human Impact Partners' mission is to increase the use of health in decision making. And the way that we do this is through both conducting health impact assessments ourselves and by training others to conduct health impact assessments. And we also provide technical assistance for them to do that. We're a nonprofit and we're located in Oakland, California. So jumping right in, this is a framework for how you might understand the health effects of housing. Physical structures, where we live, like the design and maintenance of buildings, how much they cost, the location with respect to other resources in the community, and then the social environment in our neighborhoods all set the context for exposure to pollutants and toxins, how much people spend and how much they have for other resources in their lives, whether or not we can get proper nutrition and physical activity, and the social support systems that exist for us. And then these influence things like injuries, respiratory conditions, chronic disease and communicable disease, birth outcomes, and mental health outcomes. So I'm starting with this because I'm going to walk through a couple case studies of HIAs, and I'm just going to highlight a couple of these domains, so mostly affordability and location, and then a couple different things within location. So I wanted you to sort of have an understanding for how we kind of walk from the policy and the proposal to how you might get to health outcomes. So the first case study is a housing development in South Los Angeles. And in this case, I'm going to talk about affordability and location with respect to access to food and retail. So the developer, Urban Housing Communities, had proposed a redevelopment of a former industrial site, which was about 11.5 acres. Included affordable housing, services for low-income families, and it was to be built over 10 years in phases. These were some of our partners, and the California Endowment was a funder. So as Lily said, when she walked through the steps, scoping is the second step of HIA. It's where you really decide what determinants of health you're going to look at and which ones are priorities for the community. And then you develop your research questions and your research plan. So in this case, scoping was done through a community survey. About 300 surveys were administered to LA Acorn members, and housing, pedestrian safety, transportation, education, parks and recreation, and access to healthy retail and services were priorities for this community that lived in the area of the redevelopment. So assessment is the next step, where you would first develop a profile of the existing conditions in the area that you're looking at, and then you'll use your proposal to say how your existing conditions, how you would expect them to change. So affordability revealed, or the existing conditions for affordability revealed that that household incomes in the area were lower than the city overall and the county in LA. And that there were a larger proportion of families, especially families with children, and given incomes, overcrowding and poor quality housing were problems in the area. Existing conditions for access to food retail showed that obesity was a problem in comparison to the rest of the county. Healthy eating was not so commonplace. It was also found that a lot of the stores in the area didn't sell fresh fruits and vegetables, especially in comparison to other more affluent areas of LA. There was not access to farmers markets, and there were a lot of fast food restaurants and convenience stores. So looking at the proposal, it was predicted that housing costs would not be affordable for a lot of the people that lived in the area who would be in need of housing. And that the demand for three-bedroom units would be greater than what was planned for in the proposal. And with respect to access to food retail, the lack of access of healthy food would really pose as a burden to people who were trying to eat healthy in the neighborhood, which could put people who are already at higher risk at an even greater risk for diet-related chronic disease. So based on these findings, some of the recommendations were that housing units should be offered at a lower rate that was affordable for the local residents, so about $500 to $800 per month, that the size and the number of the bedrooms in the units should match the family size in the local population, because it was expected that this demand would be for three-bedroom units would be pretty high. It was also some recommendations around food retail were that you could designate a space for a small grocery store with on-site that would sell healthy foods. You could also consider for a farmer's market using some multi-purpose space or some space in the community. And then you could also offer transportation services for local residents to get to food retail that was a little farther away from the development. Reporting, as has been mentioned, is the step where you both develop a report, a written product of your findings and the process you went through, but it's also really very important that you communicate those findings to the decision maker. So in this case, the community presented HIA findings to like city staff, the developer, and other decision makers. And there was pretty good support for a lot of the recommendations. In fact, the developer actually agreed to consider reducing rents for subsequent phases of the project. And then the project is actually going into development in the first phase, or going into the first phase of development this year. So those are some outcomes. So the second case study that I'm going to talk about was a transit-oriented development in Pittsburgh, California. The Bay Area Rapid Transit and the Metropolitan Transportation Commission had proposed to extend the BART line, Bay Area Rapid Transit, for those of you not familiar, and they were going to put a new station in Pittsburgh, California, in the middle of the freeway. So it would be like on the actual platform would be in the middle of the freeway. So for this, I'm going to talk about transportation and proximity to pollution in terms of location as well. So just a tiny bit of background. Pittsburgh is a suburb of the San Francisco Bay Area. It's pretty low income, and there are a lot of immigrant and immigrant and people of color. It's projected to grow. More so than the rest of the region. And a lot of people that live in Pittsburgh have to travel outside the area to get to work. Therefore, there are longer commute times generally, and there's a lot of single occupancy vehicle driving. So the proposal was actually for the station area plan that would encompass the area around the station. It called for about 1,600 units of housing, some of that affordable, made allotments for retail, commercial space, office space, light industrial. There was a lot of parking that was planned for, and also pedestrian and biking improvements. These were some of our collaborators. This was also funded by the California Endowment. So scoping in this case was done by first forming a steering committee that identified some of the health determinants that could be possible that we might look at. And then focus groups were used to prioritize those health determinants. And then the steering committee got back together and then came up with the research questions and prioritized those based on the community's priority. And this revealed that transportation, housing, jobs, retail and public services, air quality, and noise were priorities. So that's what was looked at. So based on the station area plan proposal, it was predicted that about 4,000 additional daily vehicle trips would result from this plan. But that's in comparison to about 20,000 additional vehicle trips that would have resulted if this were not a transit-oriented development plan. About double the Pittsburgh residents would actually start using public transit with this plan, and BART ridership would go up both locally and regionally, and this could then have impacts on physical activity. It was also predicted that there could be some risk to pedestrian injuries or fatalities from vehicle collisions, and so that would be if traffic calming measures weren't put in place. The location of the platform in the middle of the freeway and the housing that would be planned around it, because it's a transit-oriented development, might result in local air pollution impacts, but there would actually be regional reductions in air pollution based on this plan. So some of the recommendations based on these findings that were that bus service should be provided to the BART station, more frequent and more widely available bus service, that large employers should try and offer shuttle service to the BART station. Parking should actually be sort of decoupled with housing so that people have a disincentive to drive and use their cars and an incentive to actually take public transportation, and of course, the traffic calming measures be implemented. And then with respect to air pollution, to reduce some of the local impacts, it was recommended that ventilation systems and filtration systems be implemented in residential buildings to cut down on the to improve the indoor air quality. So in this case, a large report was written and then a 15-page summary. Community presentations were made both to the community, also to the planning department and the city council, that they talked about the findings. And then as a result of this, the HIA actually influenced what went into the specific plan. For example, like air quality and noise mitigations were actually included in the plan. And then that plan was adopted by the city council. So some of the things that I sort of hope you take away from these examples of how housing was used to influence health was used to influence housing development proposals. For one, the environments where we live are becoming much more accepted as determinants of our health. And so the pathway diagram that I showed in the beginning is really like a very comprehensive framework for how you might step through how you would get from a housing proposal to health outcomes. And so, and there's actually been research done to support some of those connections, which can support predictions. So there's the field is growing in terms of how you might use HIA in the case of housing. There are also a lot of opportunities as far as the types of proposals that you could look at. You could look at comprehensive or specific and transit-oriented development proposals, like I showed. And then also at the federal level, there's attention in federal housing policy making to the development of housing that embodies the same healthy, sustainable principles that we'd all like to see. So, thanks.